This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to another installment of 360 Biz. I'm your host, Bulelani Balabala, and today I'm flying solo. So Tseho's not here. Hello, Tseho, if you're tuning into the show. My boy, I know Teboho's facing some flight issues down in Cape Town. I hope that you're traveling well, my brother, and I hope you get back to Joburg in time. So today I'm in studio with three amazing individuals, and the one in particular that I like is the money man. But we're talking today, I mean, the 360 Biz is a show that brings you cutting-edge conversations and dialogues around entrepreneurship, enterprise development, and all things entrepreneurship. And today we're talking about the entertainment business in South Africa. And we all know that the entertainment business is one that contributes largely to the economy of the country, having seen a lot of entertainment centers come up all over the country, but one in particular is one that I got to experience a while back, which is in one of your spots, and I'm talking to a gentleman I have in studio, one of your spots at the Times Square, and which is a venue that is owned by the Sun International brand. I've got in studio today a young gentleman who's going to now introduce himself to our guests and tell us who he is and what he does.
Great. Thank you very much. It's Tristan Catesy from Sun International. I'm the director of casinos and spent most of my life in the casino industry and had a fantastic time both here in South Africa and also spent a bit of time in Las Vegas, which was a fascinating experience for me.
How was the Las Vegas experience? Because you know what they say, what happens in Las Vegas, or what I've watched in movies being said, that what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas.
Well, I think with Facebook these days and cell phones, it's a bit harder to keep it that way. Yeah. But yeah, certainly a fascinating city that has also changed over the years from being a traditional gambling environment to expanding significantly more into the entertainment aspects, food and beverage, and really having a wider appeal to the broader people. But it's certainly a fascinating town with 25 odd million people going through there on an annual basis.
So, I mean, but I think before we get into the meat of the conversation, I'd like to know a little bit more about who's Tristan. Because, I mean, I met a jolly gentleman. I think that's someone that people would love to learn about. Who's Tristan? Where did he grow up? Where does he come from?
Spent most of my life in South Africa. Came here when I was in my early 20s and studied at university. And then I've spent many times moving around, predominantly doing my job. And in fact, I'm very happily married with a wife for 30 years and a young son who's 27. But it's been part of this industry for me. I think in the first 15 years of marriage, we lived in 15 different homes around the country and around various places. So certainly traveled a lot, seen a lot, and have a fascinating job.
So it says here on my notes that you're the director of casinos. What does that mean? Because that sounds to me like you're the director of gambling, which then also then means that you're the director of money, which then means that if I give you my bank account number, I'll be a happy man at the end of the day. So what does it really mean?
Yes, pretty much so. I mean,
I hope Sid is not listening to me.
No, but predominantly spend my time looking at our core element of our business, which is gaming, and obviously the gaming product that we have. Linked into that, certainly the changes in technology that we're experiencing, our marketing aspects that we have, and also integrating gaming into our total offering that we have.
So it also says here that you're a chartered accountant. So please explain to me, is this one a passion, or is there a point where it interlinks? Because I know at some point you're working with numbers.
Yes, certainly training was a chartered accountant and initially got into the financial field. And in fact, almost started my career post my articles with Sun International. And certainly it's an industry that's large numbers, large volumes and whatever, but it's also a people industry. It's a fascinating industry that we've got significant numbers of customers obviously coming through every day. We deal with many different businesses all in one. We need to make sure that the numbers also tack up at the side in terms of the odds and that type of stuff that we have. But it was really just a background in business for me moving forward.
Yeah, and I think just maybe a separate question to what we're speaking about. I mean, what keeps a Tristan inspired to wake up in the morning? And now I'm directing this to the professionals and the corporate individuals that are listening to this particular part of the interview.
I think we live in a brilliant country that's also full of lots of challenges. And I think being able to wake up in the morning and know that you can go out to a place that you can create experiences that people enjoy, that we can create in our casinos are very part of the epicenter of the communities in which we exist. So not only do our customers come in whatever, we have a wide offering of entertainment facilities, food and beverage, rooms, conferencing linked to it. Lots of staff and employees which are fantastic and really deliver our promise to our people. And then also, very importantly, part of the communities in which we operate. So being part of something that's exciting, different every day, never quite too sure what's going to happen, and it's a fantastic industry to be in.
So there. So how do you then deal with, or not necessarily deal with, but are you finding more people taking an interest in the gaming space? Because I know I was there, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I found myself just jamming on this machine. I'm not sure what the machine was called. And at the end of the day, I think the lady who won was I won't necessarily say small, but she was petite type of a lady. And then I started to realize that this is like a sport, something that you need to practice and exercise for. So are you finding more people taking an interest in the new spot that you guys have set up at the Times Square?
Look, certainly Times Square for us has been a fantastic, iconic development for us, and certainly one of the latest in terms of the casino offerings in South Africa. And I think Times Square being developed and opened last year certainly gave us the opportunity to look at everything that was new, that was available, to design a modern-styled casino that we have, and to try and interlink all of the sort of main facilities that we wanted to put into it. So it has been it's a great facility for us. We just opened the hotel about a month ago, which has now completed the development. We have the Sun Arena there, and we've had some fantastic shows over this period of time, and we certainly think it will be a major entertainment facility for the Pretoria area.
So let me see if I can get you in a bit of trouble. Which one is your favorite entertainment spot?
Probably Times Square.
That's what everyone says. Everyone is properly media trained. I can give you that much. I can give you that much. So, I mean, how long have you been in the entertainment space for?
As I said, virtually all my life. And I think, I got involved very much on the finance side initially, and then moved into operations. And I've seen over the years, certainly, a lot of changes. We had our iconic and our still iconic property like Sun City and the Wild Coast Sun, which again provide great tourist and entertainment facilities for South Africans. But we've seen those moves in the industry as times progress. So with the urbanization of casinos, we saw that those massive growth of casinos. And certainly as we stand today, I think like every industry, we need to evolve, and we need to keep relevant, and we need to keep current, and we need to keep up with what's happening in the marketplace, technology, and the demands of our customers.
And I mean, just latching onto that, just tell us a little bit more about Sun's approach to gaming and innovation. I mean, some of the innovative methods or gaming tools that you guys utilize to just suss things out and put the competition soaking in the dust.
Thank you. And I think certainly Sun International has always been in the forefront of technology and looking at what happens, and certainly we spend quite a lot of time with our international shows and that type of stuff looking at what's available in the marketplace. In fact, if we go back a while ago, we were the first casino company really to use smart card technology back in 2000, which has been adopted all around, which provides a lot of ease of moving funds and processes through them. But also I think it's important that we look at all of our marketing tools that we have. So with our state-of-the-art systems that we have, we're able to do lots of interesting bonusing features that we have, that we can reward people at the machine that may be not part of the genuine slots game, and we can do it as side type of things. We're able to go into tournament modes on our machines that we have. And certainly we're seeing significant changes in technology as things progress at the moment. We're seeing a lot of the machines that you may have seen at Times Square with great graphic capabilities and the stuff that we have. We're seeing certainly moves around moving with the technology in terms of mobile onto online gaming into the future and those type of things. But I think importantly for us is to utilize the tools that we have to create those great gaming experiences for our customers.
And what is your take on the health of the gaming industry right now in the country?
Look, I think the casino industry is very robust. It's also going through significant changes. We certainly are looking at how do we continually reinvent ourselves. So You know, from an industry point of view, we need to keep up with the times. We need to be relevant in terms of what's happening, in terms of the technology, the moves that we're seeing with mobile, potentially online gaming internationally. We're seeing a lot of things happening in terms of other products that are available. So, and then I think importantly with that is how do we leverage the other facilities that we have. So we need to make sure that we are an entertainment venue, and as our customer base changes and stuff happens, we offer the right type of facilities for people. So I think it's in a good space. It's in an exciting space, and certainly lots of continual changes coming in the casino industry.
And I mean, just from your perspective, from your knowledge, how would you rate the industry's contribution to the economy? I mean, what are some of the initiatives that SAN would take part, would participate in, from an employment or CSI or whatever initiative?
Sure. I think tourism certainly plays a significant role in the South African economy and has been identified as probably the biggest driver and opportunity that we have. And certainly the casinos and Sun International plays in that major space in terms of tourism. We, in fact, as Sun International, are represented at 70 international trade shows promoting South Africa as a tourist destination. And I think on top of that, as we can grow the tourism industry, we're able to obviously grow the economy in South Africa. So, and it happens in some ways. Obviously, our beautiful country that we have and the facilities that we have are fantastic. But Sun International in itself has things like, you know, the Sun City, Table Bays, Times Squares, the ability to leverage our golf courses for things like the Nedbank Challenge, Miss South Africa and those type of things, promoting tourism into South Africa. So certainly a significant player. I think the industry as a whole is certainly a major contributor to South Africa. Gaming revenues in the casino, somewhere in the region of about 16 billion rand last year, and really support about 63,000 jobs in South Africa in the industry. So important for us, I think, to leverage that as best as we can, and to really try and leverage tourism into the country to make sure that we're exciting, to keep the entertainment relevant for our people, and to leverage our gaming opportunities that we have.
So, Sposiso, man, have you ever played on a slot machine before? And I'm going to ask the same question to you.
No, I haven't.
Really?
No.
Dude, I had the most amazing experience just jabbing at this thing. But what's your overall take on this particular space? Is it a space that you would possibly go into?
Yeah, look, I'll go into a space that speaks to what I'm passionate about. I'll go into a space that's got money. And I'll go into a space where I can have fun and try something new. So it's a space that I haven't gone into. I'll certainly go into it and try something new. I've seen a couple of my friends go. It's just that, hey, once you get addicted, yo, now you get grocery money, and now you're there at the machine. I don't know. It's something that I'll try. Well, I think, what would you do to try and convince me to get into it?
I think, you know, the vast majority of people who go into a casino go to have fun. They go to pass their time and to really enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's an experience to go and experience what we've got. You know, there obviously a number of slot machines. There's a number of old table games.
Sure.
Some of those table games have been in existence basically for over 300 years as the basic element of what happens. But I think it's worthwhile going and having a try. And again, we always promote responsible gaming.
Yeah.
Want to make sure that the experience is within people's means and the fun that they want to enjoy.
And you?
Well, to be quite honest, my mom is a gambler. she gambles
a lot. Okay, but which type of gambling? There's in China, there is the other gambling.
Well, the last time I checked, she was just doing the slots machine.
Ah, okay.
I think she tried the table. I'm not really sure about the names and stuff, but she is a gambler. She has, you know, all those cards and, you know, the different membership that you have, that you get in, when you're a gambler. And I'm not a gambler. I don't think I would try it. I don't think I want to, you know, risk and, you know,
that adrenaline.
The thing is, I, you know, it needs to be calculated risk, of which I think it's like it goes with luck or something. So I don't think I would try it, but I know a couple of people that are very close to me that really love gambling.
So Tristan, I mean, what's the most you've ever experienced anyone win?
Ooh, it's always hard to say. Look, we run certain tournaments and whatever that we have, which are slightly different to the traditional game that takes place. And I think you may have experienced our World Series of Slots tournament that we had.
Tell us a bit about that.
That's ongoing at the moment. It's part of Sun International's opportunities that it has is we have a casino in every major metropole, and part of our promotions that we can run are either local to the casino or potentially across the whole group. And we've run a couple of promotions where, like the World Series of Slots that's currently on the go, where you can participate at any of our casinos for a very small entry fee, get into a tournament mode where basically you've got a heat. You stand there and you play as fast as you can, so it's not really your money or whatever that's going through. And the person with the highest number of credits at the end of that period goes to the top of the leaderboard, and the person at the top of the leaderboard at the end of the week wins a prize, and we run it across the group. So there's about 4.5 million rand up for grabs in that one. In terms of specific wins, we have had slot winners, certainly quite often, in fact, over a million rand type play. And again, the table games is very dependent on how much you bet there.
So I think, I mean, as we wrap the interview up, what sort of trick should I pull in order to win? I'm kidding. There's no such. But I mean, are you at liberty to share maybe some of the things people have tried pulling?
There's certainly lots of myths out there that we can control some of those things that happen. I think, you know, the slot machines are really set up in a way that we can't control what actually happens. Mm. So it's really a game of chance. It's a game of hitting the button and hoping for the wins that we have. And it's really trying to go out there, play within your means, have fun, take people there and really enjoy the experience.
I like that, playing within your means, because within the internet, entertainment space. And I mean, any parting shot? We normally, when we close the show off, but purely because you're going to be leaving now before we close the show off, I mean, what would your 30 seconds of either inspiration or parting words be to any individual who's out there? What's on your mind right now? Anything?
I think be positive. Really look at the opportunities that we have. Understand what's happening in our communities and what we can do as individuals to really promote South Africa as a whole, but also importantly the communities in which we operate and our individuals and families, and really every day go out there and do the best that you can.
Thank you. I now have my own personal call man. When I'm on that slot machine and things are going sideways, I now know who to call. Thank you very much, Tristan. We're going to now take a break. And after the break, I've got two amazing entrepreneurs. We're going to be jumping into a very interesting and great conversation.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Swisiso, man, how are you doing? So I traveled here with my brother, Swisiso Malumi. We come from an amazing event. And so what's your perspective? I'm going to throw you under the bus before we jump into our interview, or as we interview. What's your perspective on the work that corporate is doing to develop entrepreneurs? Do you think they're doing enough?
Yeah, there are lots of corporates which are playing their part, which are doing a lot. But, you know, it's like, will it ever be enough? The rate is so high of young people that are unemployed. I think the time that people say will be enough is the time that we've got like a 0% unemployment. While there's still a percentage of people who are not employed, there will always be a feel that enough has not been done and more young people unemployed. So, yeah, a lot of great work that's been done by corporate that needs to be celebrated. More and more corporate need to do more work. But, we're moving. And we're seeing, I mean, for example, like Township Entrepreneurship Alliance, that has created this platform for corporates to get involved. You know, you want to work with people who are on the ground, who know what the entrepreneurs are dealing with, not just take money and throw it and then there's no return on it. So that's my perspective.
So we've got but you didn't introduce yourself, brother. Tell us who you are and what you do, man. People need to know.
Yeah, my name is Busiso Joshua Malimi. I'm a CEO, not a chief executive officer, but a catalyst empowering others. I'm an author, I'm a motivational speaker, I'm a public speaking trainer, I'm a graduate, I'm a One Young World ambassador. Yeah, I'm a lot.
And I've got a lovely lady. I've got a lovely lady in studio with us today. And one thing I can say about this lady before she introduces herself, she is persistent. She is persistent. She is consistent. She's an entrepreneur, man. And I know we've met a couple of times before,
mm-hmm.
but it was lovely to meet you. I think it was when? In April, no? April, May?
Yeah.
No, March.
It was March.
It was nice to meet you in March. And you know when you keep running into the same faces,
mm-hmm.
it kind of tells you that you're in the right room. Because when you also look at the conditions and the environment that you're always meeting, it's always entrepreneurship events or business development. And just introduce yourself to our guests. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Okay, thank you. My name is Sipesihle Losi. I like to call myself Losi. I am the managing director for iLosi Events Management, which is a service business that provides high quality waiters, hostesses, ushers, barmen, training to at restaurants, and we also do quite a bit of administration for corporate clients when they have bigger events. So I'm basically like a slave driver, so they call me, but yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, and I mean, so I just want to dive straight into it. You know, being a woman, and this is a question I always ask, being a lady and being in business, I'd like to think it's totally different as opposed to being a gent and being in business, because I think there's a set of challenges we face, but you also face our set of challenges and a little bit more. What keeps you inspired before we get into what the challenges are?
Like you said earlier on, persistence. I think I've never met someone that will keep on talking about the same thing over and over again, other than myself. We do have challenges. However, you just have to pretty much ignore everything and just keep on fighting for what you pretty much want. And eventually you'll get it. I mean, like you said earlier, I've been wanting to get this interview or keep in contact with him. And I've met him in previous events since last year. But then I was still, behind the scenes, pretty much in front. And I think when I get the chance to to say what I actually want to say, then I take it, and that's through persistence. So yeah.
And I mean, so why entrepreneurship? I mean, quite recently I've come to admire that entrepreneurship is not glamorous. It's one of the toughest careers you can ever go into. Why entrepreneurship? And just mull over this, Busiso, so that you can engage us on this as well.
Honestly, I think I didn't pretty much choose entrepreneurship, but then I just went with what I really love, which is doing events, getting things done. And, when I got a little bit of following with what I was doing at the time, I decided to, group up with the team and take on it. However, it was more of, we can't just really be a group. There needs to be a leader. There needs to be sort of like a statement. Who are we? What are we exactly doing? And I guess within the group that I had at the time, I was the one that had more leadership skills, and I decided to go for it. You're right. It is not glamorous. It is tough. It is what it is. And
if only people could see your facial expression and what you were going to say. Yeah, I think it's the same for me. I started following what I love, going to schools, speaking to young people at schools, and then people started to ask me, so like, how much do you charge? And then when I started to do some work with corporate, they'd be like, is this a business that you've put together? So that's something I woke up and said, I'm gonna get into entrepreneurship. But so far so good. I mean I'm loving it. I think you also need to look at your circumstance where you find yourself before you get into entrepreneurship. There's a buzz. It's a big word, entrepreneurship. Young people are unemployed. Why aren't they starting their own businesses? If you also look at some of the red tapes to get into some industries that young people want to get into, it's difficult for them. Your circumstances as well. There are some young people that cannot afford to go a month without a fixed salary. because they've got responsibilities. Mm. Even though they'd love to get into entrepreneurship. True. So it's just about understanding who you are, understanding what entrepreneurship is about. But also, you want to give people a taste of the fruits of entrepreneurship. You know, people speak entrepreneurship and they say, yeah, it's not for the faint-hearted. It's tough. True. It's tough. And sometimes True. People are like, oh, okay. If you guys are talking like that, then I don't know if
I like want to be part of it.
But there's also the beautiful thing where you get to control your time. Mm. If you look at the fruits of entrepreneurship and the impact that you can make and the purpose that you can live, we also need to speak about the benefits of entrepreneurship to lure people into entrepreneurship. Why must I get into entrepreneurship? It's not just to start a business and make money and drive these cars, but I mean generational as well.
So, Losi, I mean, what makes your business different from all the others?
Yes, what makes it different? Just to compare from before I started my business, which is Run It here in Johannesburg, I was based in Cape Town. So after moving from Cape Town to Johannesburg, I saw a lot of young people here in Johannesburg, especially the young pretty people, ladies that we call. They don't really like working, you know. I've come across with a lot of, you know, ladies that will depend on, you know, parents, men, boyfriends, sisters, cousins, and they don't really want to do much for themselves. And when I compare it to Cape Town, I mean, as a student in Cape Town, in varsity, at college, all of us, we were working. You know, we would decide to sleep in one house because we've got a shift until 12 midnight. And the next day we go back to school. So it was all about if we're not at school, we were working. And shifting from this side was very different. And I saw that as a gap to say, you know what? If I can do it, you can too, you know. And I'm taking the same people that look a certain way to say, you can do the dirty work. And to compare iLawsy and any other company is that you will find the exact same goals that, not necessarily girls, but any females and males that you will find in, I don't want to name places, but in other places. They're doing dirty work. I mean, if we have to pack the bins or, you know, serve trays, we do have some fancy jobs as well, like doing admin, calling and, you know, ushering and stuff. So it's pretty much, we're very different. We're not a promotional company where you only have, you know, ladies and mini dresses and just, you know, they don't get hands on. We are hands on. We get things
and
done.
Guys, I think you guys need to understand that the lady we're sitting with in studio today doesn't look like she picks up bins. And I think it further goes back to the conversation that entrepreneurship is not glamorous.
True.
And one gentleman I was having a conversation with, he said to me, you'd be interested that the businesses that people shy away from most of the times are the ones that are most lucrative.
True.
And he was telling me this because he runs, I think it's a tire recycling business, and was just talking me through the numbers and how they recycle tires, and it's just phenomenal. So what has been some of the highlights of your entrepreneurial journey? Let's highlight these wins.
Well, I think it's to work with companies that have been running for the longest time. If you look at the website, you see some of my clients. And I mean, these are companies that, you know, if, say, for instance, you didn't know me, and then you look at the website and then you see that, you'd be like, oh, so which means you have this. And I'm like, no, those are my clients. Doesn't mean I'm in the same level as them.
Yeah.
And also just having a number of the people that also work with the company. I've got about plus minus 70 registered iLawsy employees. And obviously we don't work all at once.
Yeah.
When we do have events, depending on the numbers, then everyone gets to get a chance. We've worked Durban, Joburg, Cape Town, PLK, Limpopo, Polokwane, so I think for me, I wouldn't say it's, you know, what the company has, but it's how far it has grown. And taking into consideration, this is actually my second year in business. So that's pretty much my highlight.
Do you have any formal entrepreneurial training, or is this something that you decided, heck, I've been dreaming for too long, I'm just going to do this thing?
Yes, I don't have any formal training. I think, like I mentioned earlier before, it was more of I liked doing events. Depending what I do in events, I like pretty much doing events, and I just went with it. And you know, being an entrepreneur is way too different than, you know, being a worker and having to, you know, manage people. So it's still a ride, it's still a journey. I'm still learning. You know when you are one man, you have to be your own PR, your own manager, your own employee, your own boss, your own critic, your own everything. So yeah, it is overwhelming, but
keep pushing.
Yeah, I'm just strong for anything else.
What are some of your highs? We know the lows. It's not nice. Sometimes you don't get paid. You go for months without getting paid. Suppliers and clients run away. They disappear. What has been some of your lows? Or highs, sorry. Highs.
I think for IA Consulting, it's getting the opportunity to work with clients like accounting technician. These are, you know, South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, SAICA. I've done some work with UNISA, the various universities. Just like you, I haven't been in business for a very long time. But I think the high is when people see the work that you're doing and they want to work with you. But now these are corporates on the level that you want to start operating at. And there are many other people who are in your space, but able to recognize and say, hey, we want to work with you. So that's been a big high for the company. And also having, you know, one of our products or one of my products, because I'm the business, which is my book, having a copy of it in Germany, having a copy of it in Australia, having a copy of it in Greece, and to get to other countries. So that's been the biggest high for the business.
And then, I mean, so...
And the money.
So Losi,
it's very nice. I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't tell you this when you get in, and then like there's that one client that pays you, and when that big bulk comes in, it's like, oh, but this is my year salary, most, oh, this is for like 5 months, 6 months, and it goes bing, and you're like, yes. No, so that's also a high.
The SMS.
Yeah, it's that SMS.
What's more of a high for you? I find more of a high for me the job more than the money. And I think it's because of the fact that I don't have a spending habit or a social life. I don't even know how to spend any money I get on sometimes. What's your high, Lucy?
Definitely, you know, these big events, you know, working with big corporate companies. I mean, these companies, it's nicer now when I'm working as iLossy instead of Lossy, because back in the days I used to work for the same companies, but I used to I was an employee. Now I'm a supplier for these companies, you know, so there's a certain way they talk to me, like, you know, they'll be like, Lossy, just, you know how we talk in like corporate and stuff. So it's I just like the whole feeling. I just like the whole, you know, not necessarily respect it. It's more of like leadership. And that's the exact same thing that I give and I teach the iLossy group as well. Like every employee that works for the company, they have a certain way of doing things or getting the job done. And they actually even do their own events without me, because they know how to handle their own clients. I don't even have to be at work. I just need to pretty much control everything behind the scenes. And that's my high.
You know, for me, one thing that I respect about entrepreneurs who are actually now employing people. My business is not at that stage yet. I know Bulelani's business employs a lot of people. I mean, your business is employing a lot of people. Excuse me. Is the fact that you've given many young people an opportunity. a platform to showcase the skill, the talent that God has blessed them with. Many young people are talented, gifted, but they just need somebody to believe in them. And I mean, that's what you're doing. I mean, you've got like 70 people, as you said, who are now working in your business. And it's beautiful when you're able to see them putting together their own events. It's like seeds. You know, you can take a seed, plant it there, but if you're not going to water the seed, then hey. And they'll look back and say, you believed in me. So big ups. Big ups to that. And through that, they're then able to look after their families, able to impart
that's
it.
Exactly,
so it's just passing down. It's passing down the skills. So big ups to you, entrepreneurs.
So Losi, I mean, you were in the event space, right?
Yes.
Do you find that large corporates and government are doing what they need to support? I think maybe let's bring a little bit home. Entrepreneurs or female entrepreneurs in the entertainment space or rather event space?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Do you think that government and corporate is doing enough to support you in terms of business, in giving you business, or is there still much to be done?
Well, in corporate, I don't want to lie. We focus on corporate events. So the reason why I have a number of the people working is because of corporate companies. So corporate companies are doing their job. I'm very happy. Obviously, they can do more and book us. Government, I'm still trying to break through to government. I think Ubulelani mentioned before, how is it like, you know, being female entrepreneur and all of that. So I think because government people are quite, you know, experienced and older, you know, they're not going to trust, or they're not going to pretty much just believe, this girl can just do 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you get what I mean? But in corporate, I mean, you have young PR companies that know about what you do. So to break through corporate is easier, or it's much, should I say, quicker than government. But government, I'm still looking forward to. I've done probably one event in government, but yes, they are having events for the young people. However, I'm not seeing the young entrepreneurs that are being supported by government. When I'm saying young entrepreneurs, I'm talking about younger than 30. So I have not seen, you know, like we know about all these government government enterprises or government offices, your CEDA, your CIFA, your NYDA and all of that. So they, when it comes to the knowledge or the information, they do give you.
Yeah.
But in terms of the jobs, in terms of the money, I have not. Yes, they do, but I'm not really impressed, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm not really impressed, but they should pretty much step up.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
I think we touched on that question a little bit earlier on, but I think what I want us to find, I think from your element, find a keen focus on is to then say, what could they be doing?
Yeah, so in any business that you go into, first and foremost, it's important that you build credibility. As you said, it's important that you build trust. I had a conversation with a department about wanting to get onto their database. So, you know, for you to do work with government, you've got to be on the CSD.
Yes.
And so I asked them, I would love to come and provide a service to you. And they said, no, we have a contract with an organization for the next 5 years. Now I was like, oh, yo. So there are some corporates which have signed long-term contracts, which makes it difficult for a small player, a small business, to come in and start supplying a service. So being an entrepreneur, you've got to be creative. An entrepreneur doesn't suck and go, oh wow, well, they don't want to work with me. I think what an entrepreneur then does is say, who is the market guru here, the person that is providing the bigger service, and how do we collaborate? How do I show them something that I can offer which they don't have? Or to say, this is my business and I'd love to work with you. So I think from that angle, you then say, I need to think differently. I need to think differently and getting into, you know, government, I need to look at who the big players are. And they say that you cannot order if you don't know what's on the menu. So many a times you just need to tell people what it is that you offer. And as an entrepreneur, I mean, what I've seen is an entrepreneur or an MTN, when MTN comes and they sell you something, they don't go, "Hi, we are MTN and would like to give you a SIM card. What makes you special?" So they go straight and tell you that, "Hi, we are MTN. We've got X amount of subscribers. We've won X amount of events." And they're not being arrogant. They're telling you what they've done. Sure. And so as an entrepreneur, I think the other side is you selling yourself, using social media to say, "Hi, we are Ilosi Events. These are the people... these are the people that we have worked with. This is the work that we have done, and this is why we think that you should back us up." And then you tag the people that you want to work with, and then you get your friends to retag, etc. That kind of strategy is just being innovative. I mean, there's a big talk, yeah, government and this is not doing enough, and then they're sitting there going, "Okay, entrepreneurs, come to us." The conversation we were having in the car about how badly do you really want it? Are you going to go and knock on the door? And at times you go and say, "Fine, we'll do this event for free. Let's show you." And then the rest is history.
Let's dab into that conversation. Have you ever been put in a position where you had to do work and they told you exposure?
A number of times.
And what's your reaction to that?
How a do number you deal of with times. That? You know what? I pretty much still work for free now, but you know, you just have to pretty much prove yourself, because obviously I am competing with companies that have been, you know, in the business for over 10 years, you know, for me to come and say, "I can do this, I can do this." I mean, come on. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, I've done work for free. I have, you know, went to a couple of, you know, events, you know, thinking, "Oh, I'll probably get this, I'll probably get that." But it, for me, it's, even if it's a number, even if it's an email, even if it's a call, even if anything small, because at the end of the day, I mean, this is like a journey. It's not like trying to, you know, quick get, you know, this and be big. I mean, I am building something really big, and I'm okay. I will still.
But you gotta eat.
I gotta eat.
So, which is where my question then alludes to then say, at what point do you then draw the line in then saying, "Nope, I'm not going to do that for free"? And at what point are you going to say, as an entrepreneur, "Yes, I'm going to do that for free"? Because a lot of us are paid with exposure, but exposure doesn't pay the bills. But just as well, we need to be cognizant of the fact that as entrepreneurs, just being in certain rooms sometimes allows you to engage with certain individuals. So at what point is there a way of finding out, okay, cool, I'm at that point now, so yes, I'm going to be able to make the decision, you know, and it's going to be a breeze, you know? Or is it a gut thing where you feel like, "Okay, mangayara
ngizobakren"? Well, to be honest, we obviously have to eat, but when someone comes to you and be like, it needs to make sense. You can't just come and say, "Can you do this event for free?" Do you get what I mean? What do I have to, you know, get for that event? You know, if I have to book 10 people or whatever people, at least those people, they need to be, you know, paid. You cannot pay me, but I can try and do some of the services for free. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It must not be me that's paying. Do you get what I mean? I can give you my time, but also it needs to make sense. You know, if you coming to me to say, "Oh, okay, I've got this budget," you know, obviously when you have a budget, I might not gain, or I might not have, you know, a little bit of profit, because all of it will go to, you know, exactly. So that's pretty much working for free. Not working for free as in, I mean, you can't really do anything for free, can we?
I think you also need to be strategic around exposure. So people say, "I'm going to expose you." Who are you exposing me to? Who is this audience that I get to go and speak to, or I get to present to? Is this an audience that I've always wanted to work with? Sometimes people, they just use you and say it's exposure.
Yeah.
Well, because your business is not big, you're not going to work there. But the audience, they're not your target market. They are not the people that will be able to pay you what you really want to be paid. So be strategic around it. Fine, go and expose me to CEOs because I want to start doing business with them. But then if we crack this and they like this, let's have a long-term contract. Me and you are going to start working together going forward with certain events. Cover the basics. cover the cost.
Sure.
Be strategic around it.
Sure.
You're going to be 100,000 people, whatever. Do you have flyers? How do people get hold of you? Expose me to this, but also have an agreement that then we get to share the database of the people who are there. So you don't just go and, yeah, I'm just going
to
be
think,
there.
I think, to be honest, sometimes, you know, the bigger companies, they come to us, you know, trying to, I guess, take advantage or use, and you do get what I mean? And that's a very good strategy, but if somebody comes and they're very big, it's hard to just, it's just basically me to just say, oh, okay, I want 30%, or I want a certain amount. So what I basically do sometimes is to say, oh, okay, I would like to bring, say, my camera guy or my, you know, certain things to just showcase and have, you know, not necessarily evidence, but sort of do it as my production, because at the end of the day, this is not only going to benefit you. I mean, I gave you this for free, or I gave you a very big discount, but now I have, you know, a sort of like a feedback to say, I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, and yeah, here's, you know, the references, or, you know, so
there's proof.
The thing. I mean, I know for a fact I'm definitely gonna work with you for free, but I'm kidding. But what's the 5-year plan as we wrap up?
Okay, 5-year plan. I mean, I'm looking to now do bigger things instead of just service. I think the reason why I just said called the company events management instead of staff management, which is what we're focusing on now, is to go into supplying, you know, hiring. I think there's a market for that. And also in some of the places that we visit, like if we do events, say in Val, in Pretoria, like in the locations, you don't get the standard of service or a standard of eventing that you get if we were to do an event in Hyde Park, in Bryanston, you know. So we're trying to do that. And also, you know, South Africans, they want, you know, they like the whole service. I mean, people are pretty much living nice lives now. So nice. They understand what, you know, quality is, what quality service is. So I want to go into that and pretty much branch out and not pretty much be based in Johannesburg only. I want to do Cape Town, Cape Town, Durban, and, you know, other places as well. And full time, like what I'm doing this side.
Nice.
And hoping to employ more than 500 people in the next 5 years.
I like that. So thank you for joining us for 360 Biz. Looking forward to joining you guys again next week, Wednesday, same time from 1 to 2 o'clock, 360 Biz. My name is Bulelani Balabala, and Teboho is not here, but I'm used to saying, and I'm with my boy Teboho Mafodi and Teho Kekana. Thank you very much.
This is CliffCentral.com.